This is Open to Hope Radio, featuring Dr. Gloria Horsley and her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley, coming to you on behalf of the Open to Hope Foundation, dedicated to those who are looking for hope after loss. Now, here's Dr. Gloria.
Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
I'm in San Francisco, and Bereaved Parents USA was an amazing event, wasn't it?
It was, and we saw so many people that we've presented with before throughout the country. It was wonderful.
It was great. Well, I just want to remind you that our new book's out, and we hope that you'll get a copy of it, and it's pretty interesting. We have articles from the best of Open to Hope, wonderful authors, over 100 authors, and we also, the foreword for the book is written by the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross Foundation, so we're very excited about that, aren't we, Hyde?
We are, absolutely, and we have, like you said, so many wonderful authors writing pieces on finding hope after loss and sharing their own experiences. I would definitely recommend it to people.
It's going to be a great book. Well, Heidi, we've got a really interesting guest today because she's done some wonderful publishing and work, and she's also published with some of our favorite people, right?
Yeah, she's published with Bob Niemeyer, who's on our Open to Hope board and a very good friend of ours. And our guest is also calling in from Australia today, which is exciting.
We are, and she is so great because she got up at 5:45 in the morning for this event. So kudos to Diana. So do you want to introduce her, Heidi?
Sure. Diana Sands is the director of the Bereaved by Suicide Service in Sydney. She's written a book and has a DVD called Red Chocolate Elephants for Children Bereaved by Suicide. And the information in it is really wonderful. And information that a lot of people don't have about how to talk to kids and work with kids that have had a suicide in their life. And she'll be talking to us more about that today. So welcome, Diana.
Oh, thank you, Heidi and Gloria. And it's great to be have the opportunity to be on the Open to Hope show today.
So now you've been providing counseling and information for families for quite a while, families who've lost a member to suicide, haven't you?
I actually started working in this area when I was attending university. I worked as a volunteer phone counselor with the Salvation Army, and it was decided to set up a suicide bereavement service. So I was part of actually establishing that service, and I've continued to work in this area. And for a number of years now, I've been the director of the service. So we provide counseling and particularly closed bereaved by suicide group programs for adults, young people and children, and I also do some lecturing in suicide postvention and prevention and intervention and training workshops on grief group work.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was talking a little bit and I mentioned to Heidi that your grandfather died by suicide, and I know that it's not something that we want to focus on here particularly, but, you know, I do believe that some of these historical things that happen in our lives do give us the capacity and ability to be able to hear other people's stories and to maybe have a bit more understanding. What would be your thought on that? Because I know you work in narrative and with stories, right?
Yes. I was very fortunate to be able to contribute a chapter to a book called Seeking Hope, which Drs. Julie Serrell and Michelle Lynn Gust are going to be publishing this year, which is on my grandfather. So it was very special to have the opportunity to write that chapter. I guess I've always been drawn to philosophical questions of meaning, and as you say, my mom, when she was a child, lost her father, that's my grandfather, to suicide. There was a lot of sadness and silence around that loss that deeply marked my mother's life and our family life. You know, at the time when he died, which he actually ended his life in New York, there were no counseling services available, and there was certainly nothing like the Red Chocolate Elephants or groups for children for my mother and her siblings. And I think it really would have made a difference. It would have made it easier for this family to work with this very tragic loss. So, yes, I think that's certainly something that has influenced my work in this area.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about, we've got our audience out there listening, and they are parents, and there's been a suicide in the family. How do you talk to children about this? I mean, what do you say? I mean, sometimes I think there's a quietness where people don't talk about it, and maybe some shame, or people don't know what to ask kids, or I don't know. How do you find that? What's the best thing to say?
Well, I think firstly, it's really important to acknowledge you just how incredibly painful and confusing and difficult it is for a parent or even a counselor or another adult to find a way, the words to talk to a child about suicide. And it's also very understandable that you would want to protect a child from this kind of pain. So I feel, firstly, adults really need reassurance about their very natural anxiety in talking to children about this. There's no one way, there's no one correct way to do this. It's a process of feeling your way with each child. I sometimes feel that adults believe they need to have all the answers to anything a child could possibly ask, but it's okay to say, I don't know. I find it very confusing too. But, you know, maybe together we can figure some of this out. I mean, what is really important and healing is their readiness to listen and support and if you like, engage in the kind of conversations that the Red Chocolate Elephant book promotes. They're the kind of conversations I believe that can help families to restore and build hope after a loss like this. Now, you know, it's also very, very, research would suggest that it's important to provide honest, age-appropriate explanations about what has happened. And that will be different for each child because each child is so unique. But it's generally not helpful to give children ambiguous half-truths about the death.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe too much information because, you know, there's kind of a little old joke about the little child that comes and says, tell me about when I was born and where I was born. And the parent tells them the whole story about labor and delivery. And the kid says, I just want to know which hospital.
Well, this is it. You know, children over time will develop a cognitive understanding to simulate what's happened, and that's over a period of time. So they'll return and reprocess these issues of concern at each developmental stage as they continue to make meaning of this loss in their life. So it's a process, you know, it's not an event. It's not like now you've been told and that's it done. It's like they'll keep coming back, a little more information, a little more, as they grow in their understanding of the world. And I guess, you know, this is a conversation you will have with your child for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. And some people don't want to do that. So I think that's an important point. This conversation will be coming up. You can either deal with it or not, because some people don't want that conversation to go on.
Well, yes, and this is why it's so important that if you've given some age-appropriate, you know, explanation of what has happened, which is based on fact, it's honest, then they can trust you to keep coming back and know that you will give them the truth about this, even though that might be a hard thing to do.
I was just wondering if you had any, Heidi, if you had any thoughts about siblings and suicide, because I would think that's an area too.
Well, I feel like there's a lot that Diana covers that I really like. One is the idea that we need to let children know that they did not cause the problem. They're not responsible for what the problems the person had. They're not responsible for the illness or the way that they died. And children need, and Diana says this, I'm reading from her book, children need reassurance that their parents are going to be around for a long time and that even though they're unhappy, they are not going to die in this way. I mean, kind of reassurance that they still live in a safe environment. Because it's so frightening to kids when somebody takes their life and they're so terrified that it's going to happen again. And I love that you say, Diana, suicide is not inherited, because we're constantly hearing, well, suicide runs in families.
No, that's erroneous, Heidi. That's not correct.
Exactly. And I think that's frightening for kids to hear that. Like you said, that is not correct. So I like the idea of being open and honest and giving kids age-appropriate information and assuring them that they still live in a safe environment and their parents are going to be able to take care of them, even if they're sad.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have noticed over the years, because it's been, you know, I don't know, how long, Heidi, 26 years since Scott died, is that it becomes less relevant how a person died than how they lived. And I find that I run a compassionate friends group, and sometimes I find that people feel kind of isolated and alienated even when they come to the group because their child died by suicide. And, you know, early on in those first weeks, it's so important. But I don't think later on it is. What's your thought about that, Diana?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to chime in too. I was going to say, you say it's less relevant about how they died. I think you're right if people have information. My husband lost his grandfather mysteriously, and this was many, many years ago. My husband is now 50. The family never told my husband if his grandfather died by suicide, homicide, or an accident. And to this day, he is fixated on finding out what happened to his grandfather. He's not able to move beyond how his grandfather died because there were so many secrets around the way he died. I don't know, Diana, yeah, what is your thought?
I'm just thinking that, you know, certainly when you work with children, they have many questions about this, and I think that often surprises adults and, you know, even counseling students when I'm sharing this information with them. You know, like, why did it happen, and what did he do, and how did he do it, and where did he do it? And they have many, many questions and a lot of confusion about it. And when you don't have all those pieces, you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle with missing pieces, and you keep trying to make the picture whole. And so I think it is very important. And I think with a suicide death, there are a lot of issues to deal with, and the more opportunity and openness there is to have the kind of conversations that can work with some of those more difficult aspects of this grieving process, then the more space there is for the good memories and the valued memories, and as you said, Gloria, how this person lived their life, the value that we had, the uniqueness of this person in our lives. And that is what we call the continuing bond. That's Dennis Klassen, Phil Silverman's very important work in this area. And of course, specifically for a child. I mean, for everybody when there's a loss, but for a child, they need to, if it's a parent figure, they need to have their mom or their dad in their life through all of their life in a way that's good and supportive and nurturing for them, not in a way that's, the relationship and the conversations with him are stopped because of this.
Now, how do they continue with, if you've got a child and say you had a spouse that died by suicide, how can you build, a positive nurturing bond with a deceased for children?
I think it's always possible, Gloria, and I know that sometimes that there has been difficulties in, you know, preceding the suicide, but there are always things, people always bring gifts with them into the world. And there are always special parts of this person that the child can hold in their heart and to nurture ongoing living.
And I like that you've said in the book, it probably wasn't the fact that the person wanted to choose death as much as they wanted to choose to end their unbearable pain. To give someone a reframe on why people, you know, often die by suicide, because they're in great pain.
Yeah, yes. So that there are many, many reasons why someone would come to that place where they no longer could continue to live. And it's a very difficult thing to understand for everyone, but we can't know what another person is coping with inside them, when they reach their limit of their endurance. And as you say, it is something that people do in response to an unbearable pain.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your book, Red Chocolate Elephants, and about your DVD, and how you came to decide to write a book and do a DVD?
So the book was actually written from the first children's group. The original children bereaved by suicide group was called the Red Chocolate Elephants. In fact, the children, often people ask me, where did the name come from? The children named the group themselves. They each one wrote on a piece of paper, and then they placed their favorite color and food and animal into a basket, and then each child pulled out a piece of paper, and that's how the name came to be, Red Chocolate Elephants. And so in the book, there's an activity where children can also use that formula for naming their own stories, that they hopefully will feel that they can start to write after reading this book. So it's these original children's comments and their artworks, with permission, of course, that form the basis of the book. And the children actually felt this was very much their project to help other children who may not have access to a group. And so that it's been a long process. I've been very lucky, or fortunate to have the Wings of Hope Association here in Australia, which is an association for those bereaved by suicide who have been supportive of this project, and also a wonderful consultant team who helped me with the project, comprised of psychologists, school counselors, teachers, specialists in grief and trauma, and the development of educational resources, and of course, you know, the wonderful work by the graphic designers who put the children's drawings together with the words, and the DVD producer. So it's been very much a team effort bringing the book to this point of being printed, and we're really hoping it will reach children and make a difference and help just to ease this just a little bit, to make this just a little bit more understandable for them what's happened.
Mm-hmm. And so, and the beginning of telling their story, right? And as time goes on, we change our narrative, change our story, and hopefully in a positive direction or a healing direction.
Well, yes, this is as I say, it's a process, and your story, you know, will continue to change as you grow and change and your life changes. I often say to students, my father died when I was in my 20s through a sudden heart attack. And, you know, I see the world very differently. I see his death differently as I see the world differently now at the age that I am now. You know, as I approach the age he was when he died, I understand my father differently. So always our understanding, and that I call that the relationship with the deceased, our relationship with the deceased, and it doesn't stop with their death. It continues to grow and develop as we do. You know, they're part of our living life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how those around us respond to help us with that narrative and help us with that story is an interesting process. Very interesting. Well, tell the DVD now, what is exactly on that?
Well, these are those original children who are now at university and making their way in careers in the world, because it was gathered a while back. But it is their actual voices talking about their grief. So that you will find them saying things like, you know, I feel upset and angry that my dad died, and, you know, I've had a lot of sad thoughts in my head about that, and I've wanted to ask him, I wanted to say, why did you do that? You know, but I can. And I think that's what's so unique about it, is it the heart of the book is really written in response to the children's words about this grieving experience, and so that other children can read that or listen to them, and they feel, oh, here's another kid just like me. Dr. Neimer, who you mentioned earlier, who's, as you mentioned, an international leading expert in loss and grief, wrote the foreword for the book, and he very, you know, thoughtfully wrote about his own experience of losing his dad to suicide. And he says in the foreword to the book, when his dad died, his childhood ended at that point. He was thrown into a world that was different from anything he had known previously. He didn't know anyone else who had lost a loved one in this kind of way, and he couldn't understand what was happening, and he couldn't find the words to talk about that, and even to find the words to express the questions that he had. And this, I think, is a very good insight into how it is for a child, you know, when the suicide, you know, enters their family. And with the children talking about it and their words in the book, I think it helps other children who are reading that to find their own way to talk about their grief and what's happening for them. And we know that that's so important for adults.
Right.
To do. And if you work with compassionate friends, you will know how important that is for us to hear other people talking and think, oh, yeah, well, that speaks to me. That's something about my own experience in that. That I hadn't worried it before now. So I'm hoping that the book in this way will also help children to be able to find their own words about it.
Great. Well, how do people get a hold of the book? I assume it's on Amazon? And
It's going to be on Amazon, and or it's in the process of, I think it may well be there by now. And you can also get it from the Wings of Hope Association here in Sydney. And obviously from my own website. And there will be other selected organizations.
Okay. Your website is?
Oh, it's an easy one. www.bereavedbysuicide.com.au.
All right. Well, Diana, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for getting up so early in the morning. And thank you for the book that you've done.
Yeah, let's hope it reaches the little people. And thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you both, Gloria and Heidi. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Diana. We appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Open to Hope show, and we hope you'll visit us on Facebook, and also that you will go on our site, the Open to Hope site, and tell us your story. We have a special space for you there. Stay tuned again next week.
You've been listening to Open to Hope Radio, hosted by Drs. Gloria and Heidi Horsley. Like today's edition, all of our past programs are available on demand at opentohope.com, along with helpful articles, videos, resources, and links to help get you through the toughest time of your life. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and sign up for our monthly newsletter. Again, that's opentohope.com. Check it out today. Then be sure to stop by next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time when we'll be posting another edition of Open to Hope Radio. Remember, others have been where you are. They made it through, and you can too, as long as you're open to hope.